Holy cow! Can you all hear me back there? Can you hear me back there? In the back? All right. Up on the roof, you all can hear? This is unbelievable. My goodness. Well, guess what? Guess what? Here we are in Portland, Oregon. Where George Bush was not too long ago. And you have just broken the record for the largest campaign, largest crowd this campaign has seen. Let me thank all of you so much. This is extraordinary. And let me thank my friends in Oregon who really stood with me right from the beginning. Former Governor Barbara Roberts. Secretary of State Bill Bradbury is going to win again. Terry Bean. Serena Cruz. This thing's picking up. Must be K-R-O-V-E. Jim Edmondson from the Democratic Party, the chair of the Democratic Party. Let me thank you all so very, very much for all your help. Because, and the extraordinary and unbelievable, didn't he crank everybody up? When he saw, I was really worried when he spoke because I thought, how am I ever going to fill in after he gets up there? Let me thank you all very, very much. All of you for helping, for introducing Miriam. Where's Miriam? She disappeared. Thank you. This campaign is about restoring America to the values that we grew up with. Because we've had a president and an administration who doesn't care what we think. We have a president and administration who wants to do what they want to do, and they really don't care what any of us think. You know, if you can't get two things right when you're the president of the United States, we're going to talk about health insurance and renewable energy and education. If you can't get the economy and foreign policy right, then you'd better go back to Crawford, Texas. Think of the thousands and thousands of jobs that have been lost in Oregon since this president took office. Look, and here we are in a state where you had to close the schools 5 weeks early because the President of the United States gave $3 trillion of our money away to Ken Lay and the boys in Texas instead of funding special education and funding education. You know something? The President says, oh, he cut taxes. He cut taxes, all right, for all those people writing him those $2,000 checks. Let's talk about your taxes. Are your property taxes gone up? How about college tuition? Has that gone up? How about taxes for fire and police so we don't lose fire and policemen off the streets of Portland? Has that gone up? You know what? A lot of people got $600 and $400 checks and so forth and so on from this president, but I'll bet you if you add up all the extra expenses for the last 2.5 years under this president, that every middle-class person in this audience is far behind where they were before. We need a president who understands to stimulate the economy. You ought to be just and fair to working people and have social justice and economic justice in this country. Now, we're going to have a lot of fun at the president's expense here, but you also have to say what you would do, not just how awful the guy in office is. So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to do. Well, we might say a few things about what we're not going to do. First, we are going to balance the budget. No Republican president has balanced the budget in this country in 34 years. If you have to trust your hard-earned tax dollars to the federal government, you had better hire a Democrat because you can't trust the Republicans with your money. If you want jobs in this country, we've got to balance the budget so investors have confidence in America again. And if you want social justice in this country, then you better balance the budget, because the time that people need the most help is when the revenues of the state and the federal government are going down. That's when people need help. In our state, we balanced the budget. We put a lot of money aside. We paid off our debt. And today, we're not cutting higher education. We're not cutting K-12 education. We're not cutting kids off Medicaid. We're not cutting payments to cities and towns. And we still have a balanced budget. Social justice also depends on balancing the budget. And that's why the president doesn't want to balance it, because he wants to defund the federal government and get rid of Medicare and Social Security. And we're not going to allow that.
No!
Here's what I want to do. We're going to balance the budget. We're going to start doing something for small businesses in this country again. You know, the president gives all our tax money away to large corporations, but the truth is that small businesses create more jobs than large businesses do, and they don't move their jobs to other countries. And can you imagine if President Bush hadn't given $3 trillion, that's if you include the interest costs from borrowing it from the Social Security Trust Fund, if he hadn't given $3 trillion of our money away to his friends, can you imagine what investing that in roads and bridges and renewable energy projects and broadband telecommunications to every rural part of America so they can have jobs too? Can you imagine how many jobs we would create if we rebuilt our schools? Can you imagine what that would do for the infrastructure? I think we need a president who cares about jobs and infrastructure, not about tax cuts for Ken Lay and the boys. Now let's talk about foreign policy. Most of you know that I'm the only leading candidate in this race for the Democratic nomination that did not support the president's invasion of Iraq. See that flag up there? That flag does not belong to President Bush. It belongs to every single American, and that includes us. I'll tell you something. I supported the first Gulf War because one of our allies was attacked, and I believe we had the right and responsibility to defend them. I supported the war in Afghanistan because 3,000 of our people were murdered, and I thought we had a right to defend the people of the United States. But in this case, the president told us that Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein were about to make a deal. That turned out not to be true. The president told us that Iraqis were buying uranium from Africa. That turned out not to be true. The vice president told us that the Iraqis were about to get nuclear weapons. That turned out not to be true. And the secretary of defense told us that he knew exactly where those weapons were, right around Tikrit and Baghdad. That turned out not to be true either. As a commander in chief of the United States military, I will send American troops anywhere in the world if it's necessary to defend our country. But as a commander in chief of the United States military, I will never send our sons and daughters and our brothers and sisters to die in a foreign land without telling the truth about why they're going there. I don't think the president understands what it takes to be safe. You know, this president talks big about defense. Oh, he's pretty tough when it comes to defense. But he sure didn't mind cutting 164,000 veterans off their health care benefits last January. The president talks big about just how tough he is, how he's going to defend this country. He managed to find $3 trillion worth of tax cuts to give away, but he can't find enough money to fund Homeland Security for Portland and the state of Oregon. He found $3 trillion of our tax money to give away to his friends, but he can't seem to find enough money to buy the enriched uranium stocks of the Soviet Union, which we're entitled to buy under cooperative threat reduction. Now, if that stuff gets in terrorist hands, then we really are in trouble in this country. He found $3 trillion of our money to give away, but he doesn't have the money to inspect 90% of the cargo containers that come into this country every single day. You know something else? He's letting North Korea become a nuclear power because he won't sit down and talk to the leader because he doesn't like him. I think it's time to end foreign policy based on the petulance of the President of the United States. I don't think the President fully understands defense. You know, over a decade ago, the Berlin Wall came down, the Soviet Union fell apart, and America hadn't fired a shot. Why was that? First, it was because we had a strong military, but it was also because most of the people behind the Iron Curtain wanted to be like America, and they wanted to be like Americans. You'd be hard-pressed in the last 2.5 years and since this president's taken office to find a majority in any country of the world that wanted to be like us anymore. That's part of a strong defense, too, is being respected and having high moral purpose in the world. And I promise you that if you elect me President of the United States, I will restore the honor and dignity and the respect this country deserves around the world by cooperating with other countries. You know, in my state, everybody under 18 has health insurance. 99% eligible. 99% eligible. 96% have it. Everybody under 150% of poverty, all our working poor people have health insurance. All seniors under 225% of poverty get help with their prescriptions. Now, if we can do that in a small rural state, which is 26th in income in the country, and balance the budget, surely the most powerful and wealthy society in the face of the earth can join the British and the Japanese and the French and the Germans and the Italians and the Irish, the Israelis, the Canadians. Even the Costa Ricans have health insurance for all their people. We can do better than that. I am tired. I am tired of being in second place, Mr. President. We ought to be in first place in the industrialized world and join everybody else and have health insurance for every man, woman, and child in America. And I probably shouldn't do this, but I happen to know one of the great leaders for health insurance in this country is with us today, which is Dennis Rivera, the head of 1199 SEIU. Dennis, thank you very much for joining us in this fight for health insurance. Let me talk about a couple of other things and then I'll quit. Well, I'm only going to quit the speech. We're still going to send the president back to Crawford, Texas. You know, we have more than 2 million people in this country in prison. Now, prisons are an important part of life. You can't have violent people running around the street, but prisons are the most expensive and the least effective social service intervention that we make in this country. And most competent, qualified kindergarten teachers can tell you who the 5 kids are in his or her class that are likely to end up in prison 15 or 20 years from now. So my question to America is, if we have some idea 15 or 20 years ahead of time who's going to end up in the most expensive and the least effective social service investment that we make, why aren't we doing something now for small children and their families so we can stop pretending about filling up our prisons? So in our state we are. We visit every mother who gives birth in the time of her birth in the hospital, and we, whether she's the richest or the poorest woman in the state, we ask them if they'd like a home visit. 91% say yes. So 91% of our newborns get visited at home within 2 or 3 weeks of their birth. Now, most of those people don't need any help. They're happy to see a friendly face in the community. But the families that are in real trouble that we find get health insurance, child care, parenting skills and classes, job training, and programs to keep the dads interested in the kids in the case of a single mom. In the last 10 years, our child abuse rate is down by 43% and child sexual abuse is down by 70%. And those kids are kids that have a much better chance of going to college than you do going to prison, and we can do that in this country if we'll stop thinking in 2 and 4 and 6 year terms and start thinking in 20 year terms for kids and 100 year terms for the environment. You know, I think it's time we had a president whose idea of renewable energy wasn't let's drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. We need renewable energy in this country. I can see Karl Rove cackling and rubbing his hands together. That Birkenstock governor from Vermont. Anybody here have Birkenstocks on? You know what? The Danes get 20% of all their electricity from wind. California used to have 80% of all the wind turbines in the world. Now Europe has 70% of them. Once again, this president has pathetically allowed us to be second place, and I don't like it when America's in second place. We ought to be in first place in renewable energy. We have a president who thinks that clear skies means putting more pollution in the air. We have a president who thinks healthy forests means it's okay to cut down old growth forests. We have a president who thinks no child left behind means leave as many behind as you want and hope nobody notices. We're going to do better than that. Well, you're going to get them. You're going to get them. Let's talk about how we're going to win.
No.
An awful lot of Democrats in Washington think the way to beat George Bush is to be a little like him. Well, you vote for a little. I'm going to have this guy write my speech for me. Listen, let me tell you, first of all, these are all good people. If one of them gets the nomination, we all got to work for them because we can't have 4 more years of what we got now. But I don't agree with Senator Lieberman and Senator Kerry and Senator Edwards and Representative Gephardt or George Bush on the war. I don't agree with them on No Child Left Behind. I think the schools in Oregon, until the president cut taxes and cut aid to education, the schools in Oregon were a lot better than they were in Texas. What the president did was decide to help the schools in Oregon by making them more like Texas. And I don't think Democrats ought to be voting for that kind of stuff. I think the people in Oregon can run their own schools and do a pretty decent job, not have them run by the President of the United States and Pennsylvania Avenue. The way we're going to win this election is not to be Bush light. The way we're going to win this election is to stand up, be proud of who we are, say what we believe in, and give the 50% of Americans who don't vote anymore in this country a reason to vote. You know, there are about 70,000 people in this state that voted for Ralph Nader in the last election. If we get half of those people to vote for us, there are a lot of Greens here today. There are a lot of Democrats here today. I bet there are a lot of McCain people here today. I bet there's some Perot people here today. And I bet there's even a few Republicans here today who are sick and tired of having the budget out of balance and losing their jobs too. And we're going to give people a reason to vote in this country because we're going to stand up and say what we think. Look, there's not one person in this crowd who's going to agree with me on every single issue, not one. But there's not one person in this crowd who's going to leave here without knowing where I stand or go to my website and know what I believe. And that's what Americans want. All they want is to have a leader who doesn't look at the polls and focus groups before he makes up his mind what's going on. So here's what we're going to do, and I need your help to do it. I need your help to do it. I need you to go to the web. Many of you are already on there. At deanforamerica.com. And when we and give us your email address, we will not spam you except for the last 3 weeks of every quarter when we're desperately trying to raise as much money as we can. I need you to go, and the stuff that we send you, you send to your email list. Maybe there's 100 people on it. I'll tell you something. We think there are probably more than 5,000 people here today. It's the biggest crowd we've seen outside Burlington. And if each of you reaches out, if each of you today reaches out to your email list, that's 500,000 people just from this one event alone. And we're doing these all over the country in the sleepless tour. And we're sleepless because we're worried about our jobs and our health insurance while the president's sleeping in Crawford, Texas. So I need you to reach out and give people a reason to vote. Tell them about us. Spread the word on email. We've got a toll-free number, 866-DEAN-4USA. This is how we're doing it. We're building a list. In the last quarter, we raised more money than anybody else. That's very nice. That's not the big deal. The big deal is 93,000 Americans donated. More than half of them had never given money to a political campaign, and the average gift was less than $80. That's campaign... That's how we're going to beat George Bush. The way you beat George Bush, a president who can get all those $2,000 checks, is just keep reaching out to more and more and more Americans. We're going to have 3 or 4 million new Americans that didn't vote last time, and they're going to vote this time, and they're not going to vote for this president, and they're just going to send Tom DeLay back to Houston to exterminate some more cockroaches. And I was talking on the phone with a group of people from St. Louis who are supporting us the other day, and they, St. Louis. And they, I said, we're going to send John Ashcroft. They said, we don't want him, so John Ashcroft goes back to Crawford, Texas with the president. Imagine John Ashcroft going around on a Patriot Act tour. He didn't dare show up in Portland. But that's almost as funny as the Secretary of Treasury and the Secretary of Labor going around on a jobs tour of the Midwest. That was the shortest ticket on Greyhound ever anybody ever got. We need you to reach out to win this campaign. The truth is that a lot of things get said at election time that aren't true. And the biggest lie that gets said at election time is that if you elect me, I'm going to solve all your problems. The truth is, the power to take this country back is in your hands, not mine. As a matter of fact, President Bush was here a little while ago, and he raised $1 million. When you go home on the internet tonight, you're going to find a bat up on our website, and we're going to raise $1 million over the internet in the next 3 or 4 days to match what he raised here in Oregon, and we need your help. The truth is that you have the power. Take this party back and make it stand for something again. Make it stand for what Harry Truman put in the 1948 Democratic Party platform, health insurance for every single man, woman, and child in America. To make it stand up for the civil rights of every single American. To make it stand for jobs again and protection for working people again so they can organize, especially organize Walmart. But you have the power to change this country so we can believe in ourselves and we're a respected nation around the rest of the world again. And that together, we have the power to take back the White House by bringing 3 or 4 million new Americans into the voting process. And this time, the person with the most votes is going to be the next president of the United States. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.